Hi, punks. Going to school, huh?
Yeah.
Why don't you play fish hooky and come fishing with us?
Yeah, boy. They're sure biting.
Get thee behind me, Satan, and don't push.
Get behind me, Satan. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Jesus said, get away from me, Satan. Jesus said, you don't tempt the Lord thy God. Get behind me, Satan. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Jesus said, get away from me, Satan. Jesus said, you don't tempt the Lord thy God.
Now Jesus went to the desert 40 nights and 40 days. When he got tired and hungry, to his father he would pray. But the devil came to Jesus, said, if you want to be fed, why don't you turn these big old worthless stones to bread?
And he said, get behind me, Satan. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Jesus said, get away from me, Satan. Jesus said, you don't tempt the Lord thy God. Get behind me, Satan. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Jesus said, get away from me, Satan. Jesus said, you don't tempt the Lord thy God.
Then the devil, he took Jesus to the temple up on top. And he said, if you are the Son of God, jump off of this moving rock. For the scripture says that angels will slow your falling down. And they'll gently put your feet back on the ground.
Yes, he said, get behind me, Satan. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Jesus said, get away from me, Satan. Jesus said, you don't tempt the Lord thy God. Get behind me, Satan. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Jesus said, get away from me, Satan. Jesus said, you don't tempt the Lord thy God.
Ooh. Then the devil, he took Jesus to a mountaintop to show all the cities and the nations and the kingdoms here below. And the devil, he told Jesus, you can have all that you see if you will just bow down and worship me.
And he said,
get behind me, Satan.
Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Jesus said, get away from me, Satan. Jesus said, you don't tempt the Lord thy God. Get behind me, Satan. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Jesus said, get away from me, Satan. Jesus said,
he said, don't tempt the Lord thy God.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to This is an Official Godcast. Thank God it's Friday. Yes, indeed. Thank you for joining us live on Podbean and live on Rumble. Glad you guys are all here tonight. My name is Ron Johnson. I'm here joined by Jaywoo, by Jim, and the kilted one, Duncan McGregor.
Good evening, everybody.
And tonight, giving her testimony, our special guest, Becky Russell. Let's start by welcoming Age Before Beauty, Jim Warren. How are you, sir?
I'm so blessed. God's blessing me right out of my socks.
That's what I like to hear. Amen to that. And Jaywoo?
Hello. How's everybody doing? I guess I would be the second oldest here.
You guys are like the dynamic duo.
There's a reason why they call us old, you know what? Old so-and-sos?
Yeah. DJ Deb has got a function going on tonight with her family. Her daughter's out doing a recital of singing, so she's joining her daughter tonight in support of her and her family. So she's not going to be here tonight. So I got the next best thing, the dynamic duo, Jim Warren and Jay Wu. And, of course, Duncan McGregor. Nobody does it better. If we can, hey, we've had great shows all this week on the Kilted Christian channel, but Jim, Jaywu, tell us about your guys' show Monday and Saturday, just in case anyone here is listening and hasn't heard you guys yet.
Well, I'll let Jim explain Monday's show, since that's he has 51% control over Monday.
Monday's show is the Book of Heaven with Jim Warren and Jaywu. It's a verse-by-verse study of the greatest book that was ever written.
And,
it's sponsored by the creator of the universe, who's our daddy.
Yes.
And I'm a Nehemiah 8:8 teacher. I try to help the audience get the sense of what God is saying, because it's what he has to say that's important. And I really enjoy having you join us. And on behalf of our sponsor, we even thank you.
And you guys are doing Ephesians right now? Is that where we're at?
No, we're flipping into Philippians.
We're starting Philippians this Monday night.
Very nice, very nice.
Flop into Philippians. And then Saturdays, we do what we call Church by the Fire, and that's kind of a by the seat of our pants, just conversation with our brothers and sisters, and just kind of see where the Spirit leads us in that. I kind of loosely start us off with the topic, and I've been reading a book called Hung by the Tongue, and it discusses how we sabotage ourselves through language and the words that we use, and the importance of really stating with intention your words and the word choices you use to speak. And so we thought I might start off with that and see where it leads.
Beautiful. Thank you guys so much for joining us, filling in with DJ. Greatly appreciate that. And Duncan, how are you doing this week, brother?
I'm doing pretty good. Been a busy week. The chickens grew up, and I got to put them outside finally because they were flying out of my bathtub.
Nice. They flown the coop.
Yeah, they literally flew the coop. It's kind of funny though, because I would go into the bathroom and they figured out I had to hop up onto the next little stoop first, and I would just see these little heads pop up. Chicks are cute, man, but man, they can eat and poo.
Yeah, they're adorable at that age.
But they're adapting to the outside pretty well. So we finally got to the point where we're above 60 at nighttime. So
nice. Warmer than here in the great state of Michigan. We've been hitting 30. So that's great. It's good that it's warming up. Summer's almost here. And you've had great shows all week. Tuesday, you've had Little Red Rocking Chair, one of our favorites, Laura Reeves. If you guys don't remember, she was on the Godcast for episode 21. She came and gave her testimony here. We love Little Red Rocking Chair. And then Wednesday, you had the Guthrie family, and just a heart-wrenching story. Oh, my goodness. But it's a story that needs to get out and needs to be heard. And then Thursday, you had back Patricia Silva. She was back from you had her a week or two ago, right? Yeah.
Yeah, we had her on a couple of weeks ago. Wanted to come back up just so she could, you know, do some updates. And then we just wanted to go down some rabbit holes, just do something a little different. So we just had a great night of conspiracy conversations with Little Red and Patricia. It was pretty awesome. And Steve's got some great guests lined up. And matter of fact, Tuesday, next Kilted Christian, Jim Conley. So you guys want to come in for some laughs, then bring it on Tuesday night.
Good old Jim.
Always a good time with Jim. Absolutely.
I will have to leave early, so I will say goodbye now, and then I can slip out of quiet.
All right. Well, you're not leaving without a hug, though.
Well,
thank you, Jim.
I'm going to zoom in on this one, man. Aw.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'd like to spend the whole hour, but I'm teaching Bible study at 7. I got to get over there.
Hey, man, well, you're doing the right job.
He's a Bible study preaching fool. That's what keeps you young, though, isn't it?
Yeah, well, you know, I've studied, I've prepared lessons for over half the Bible.
You got to get the other half done, so keep working, buddy.
That's the gift that God gave me, and so I'm going to do my best.
You got to
don't forget the prayer for me. pray that I would become the greatest Bible teacher in the world.
Wait a minute. I thought that prayer was already answered.
No. Well, thank you.
Didn't they give you an award? Didn't they give you an award one time for being humble?
No, yeah, they did. And they took it away from me. I wore the medal.
They took it away during my speech.
All right, let's get to it. Let's welcome our guest, Becky. Welcome to the Godcast. It's an honor to have you here, and thank you so much for connecting with us. For those who don't know you, please, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, and where they can find you on social media?
So my name is Becky Russell, and most of my social media platforms, you can just type in Becky Russell, but it's B-E-C-K-Y in case you got an I-E person out there. But Favorite Ministries is my YouTube, and I've got over 100 videos. Some of them are just 10 minutes where I spontaneously tell you guys what the Holy Spirit wanted me to share. And some of them are like an hour long, some where I've been preaching in Pakistan or in Nigeria, and I just recorded it and put it on my YouTube, or just some that I felt like the Lord was just planning out. Like I have one about the tackle box because I love to fish. So it's like, as I was fishing one day, he just gives me these revelations about like the tackle box and how the tackle is kind of like Satan in the world and all this stuff. So it's pretty cool. I have one, I did automatic writing. I've never done that before. And if that weirds you out, it's fine because God originated everything. Satan doesn't make anything. He only perverts it all. So, yeah. But, so I wrote this one about the, three little pigs, and it was right after COVID, and it was just, when I actually watch the video myself, because I do watch my own videos sometimes because they minister back to me. But I was like, wow, this is so good. And I didn't even remember like really writing most of it. And my hand was hurting. It was, yeah, it's about an hour long, and it's really good. And it's just called The Three Little Pigs. We need to be the third pig, you know. And so, yeah, so I've been preaching in the jails ever since pretty much I got saved in May of 2000. Nice. Yeah, I've been preaching in the jails. I minister to prostitutes, sex trafficking victims, homeless, teenagers mostly. Disciple a lot of different teenagers and young adults that are actually growing up and having kids now. So I have spirit babies now, spirit grandbabies. Instead of just spirit children, I have two spirit grandbabies. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm a grandma.
That's precious.
Yeah. That's about it. I mean, you know, I got a lot, so I could take up the whole hour. But
yeah, we're going to get into it. But first, if you can, let's start off with a prayer. Duncan, you want to lead us out, brother?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Everyone, please bow your heads. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you again for another beautiful day that you have blessed us with. Whether it was raining or sunny, dear Lord, it's got its own beauty and things that we absolutely need. So thank you. Thank you, Father, for answering all the prayers that we have been praying for over these years, dear Lord. You always come through, and I don't even know why I ask for prayers instead of just thanking you ahead of time. So thank you for all the prayers that you will answer. Father, I thank you for the patience that you're going to be bringing us all, dear Lord, that same patience that you had with us during our worst times. We need to have with others, including our enemies, dear Lord, so that we can genuinely pray prayers from the heart, not just from the lips. Dear Lord, the world gets a little bit more chaotic every day, but we are blessed and thankful, and the only thing that really keeps us calm right now is just knowing that you win. So there's really nothing to worry about. Dear Lord, I think the thing that we worry about most is wanting to do everything that we can in your great service, dear Lord. So please continue to speak to us the way that you always have. But more importantly, dear Lord, allow us to learn how to listen. Sometimes you speak and we don't hear what we want to hear, so we ignore it. Sometimes we just don't hear you at all because we're not paying attention. But dear Lord, allow us to just develop that strong foundation more and more every single day, dear Lord, so that we hear you always, dear Lord. Let us never miss an entire day of speaking to you, not just praying for things that we need, dear Lord, but sometimes just praying for thanks for all the things that you bless us with. Most of it we take for granted because we get used to it, but all those other blessings that you do bring to us. Dear Lord, I've said more unchristian words, I think, in these last 3 years because of this administration, and I've had to apologize many times for that, but I thank you for listening to my repentance and forgiving me for what we have done wrong, dear Lord. One thing that we have come to getting to know you more and more every single day is that we start to learn what our sins are, and we get better and better and better at being better people, more Christ-like. We're still not there, Father, but tomorrow we will all be better than we are today, so thank you. Father, let us continue talking to just random strangers. It's not a matter of waking up as many people, but just that one person, dear Lord, so that they have that chance at salvation that you have brought to us. Let us be able to lead them to that narrow path so they may find you. But dear Lord, let us never stop working in our own lives. Even as Christians, dear Lord, the last thing we want to become is lukewarm. We want to stay on fire right now, as we need to be more than ever. There's a lot of this stuff going on in the world. We're watching the Bible, biblical prophecies just coming to light more and more every single day, dear Lord. And, you know, many of us are just impatient because we want to go home. But Father, we have some work to do here. So always let us keep our eyes on that kingdom first and foremost, dear Lord. But never let us stop doing what we can right here on this earth to preserve the innocence, to preserve your scripture, to preserve all the beauty that you have brought right here to us, dear Lord. Thank you for the family that you brought that grows bigger and bigger every single day. And I thank you, Father, for the platforms that you have blessed us with. And I ask that you allow us to use them in your heavenly name. Continue to speak to us and nudge us along for each episode, bringing the right people on, giving their testimonies, talking about the scripture, exciting people about you the way that we are excited now that we know you. But Father, we love you with all of our hearts, and we genuinely thank you for everything. In Jesus Christ's name and our Heavenly Father's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, Becky, please. Thank you again for being here. We greatly appreciate you taking out time. You're on vacation right now, aren't you?
I am.
So you're really taking some time out just to hang out with us. We do appreciate that.
It's an honor. I have no idea how we even connected, but it's okay because God did it. It's a divine appointment as far as I'm concerned. So I would never turn away an opportunity to tell of his goodness and just talk about him. I could do it all day long.
Well, I'll tell you how we found each other. I saw you on social media, and I just love what you do. You're definitely one of us over here at the Godcast. You got a heart for Jesus, and you're doing and saying and projecting all the right things, everything that people need to hear these days. This is we're all in a really rough spot as far as where the world's at right now, and we need more people like you. And when I find people like you, I got to get the word out, spread it far, wide, and just let everybody hear.
Absolutely.
I love what you're doing, and that's why you're here. Absolutely. And also, I know that you've got some ministry going too, and I want to further your ministry and help you out as much as we can as well. So please tell us of your testimony in Jesus. Start at the beginning. Walk us through this. Tell us about, you know, before Jesus. What were you like?
Well, I am Puerto Rican and Irish, so I think that's enough.
Look out.
I think that would probably say enough.
It says a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I smoked weed every single day of my life from 13 till the day I got, well, till about 2 weeks after I got saved. So I got saved at 27. So from 13 to 27, there was not a day that went by that I didn't smoke weed. Didn't really drink much, didn't like the way it felt in my belly, and just kind of made me off a little bit. And I didn't like that part of it. Did acid pretty much my whole year of 16, 17, possibly twice a week. Did enjoy that quite a bit. Had a couple of scares, but didn't really bother me that much. I kept doing it, but I don't even remember why I stopped, honestly. I had only done it once since I had moved to Georgia. And I moved to Georgia when I graduated high school. I was 18 when I moved from Connecticut to Georgia. Found the same kind of same people that did the same things I did there, because it's a familiar spirit. You can't get away from it. You'll find people that are doing exactly the same thing you're doing, because Satan doesn't want us to know who we really are. I mean, that's just the bottom line. Because if people actually knew the authority that they carried, they would make a difference, right? Like you said, I mean, like, we are making a difference. We're in this dark time for a reason, you know? The darkness is only there because we're not lighting it up. I mean, you don't ever go into the room and say, turn the dark off. No, you turn the light on. And so that's what we're out here doing. So I was, I like to fight, which, you know, you can come to that conclusion with this. The Latin Irish in me, I was raised by my grandparents, so the abandonment spirit tried to attack me most of my life and still continues to try to irritate me. But so my mom, I think, left me with my grandparents at like probably before kindergarten. My earliest memories are like kindergarten. So don't ever remember living with my mom until my granddaddy died, who was like the most important man to me other than Jesus. And still to this day, after two husbands, still is the only other man that really, truly loved me. Besides Jesus. So, and he was my Puerto Rican side. My real dad was Canadian, American Indian, and Irish, mostly Irish. We do have a little Scottish in us as well, but he was like a mutt, I guess my dad was. And so, what else about pre-Christ? So how I found God, just somebody just kept inviting me. So my granddaddy died when I was 13, lived with my mom, pretty much ran the show. Like my mom had no disciplinary type stuff. She worked like a few jobs to keep me in the sneakers that I wanted because I'm a sneakerhead. I don't know if you can tell by the jersey that I'm a sneakerhead, but I kind of am. And so, so she kept me in nice shoes. So she kept like a lot of jobs. So I just kind of did what I wanted to do. I didn't really have any disciplinary after 13. So, ran the streets, stole my first car at 13, you know, started dating at 13 and everything that goes with that in the world, you know. And then from there, fast forward to like 27, my grandmother died in 98. She was in Puerto Rico and a lot of people were taking advantage over there. And they were middle class, but they had, you know, had a little bit of money. So I think my family in Puerto Rico was trying to like take advantage of her. And so we caught wind of that, went over there and grabbed her illegally. We brought her back to the States. It was kind of cool. But we had a whole mission and it was fun. But anyway, so when she died, I had this desire to go back to the Catholic Church. I grew up Catholic, didn't really do much in the Catholic religion. I mean, you know, I did my little communion or whatever, my sacraments that I had to do. I didn't even do any past the age of like 10. But when I went back to the Catholic Church, it was like I felt something that I had never felt before. And it was, I assumed it was my grandmother because, you know, when you're not saved, you think like, you know, you think like your granddaddy's coming down and talking to you and different things like that. And so I just assumed it was her because it was right after like she died. And so I really enjoyed that feeling. It was a peace almost. And so I was like, well, I'm going to go back. And I was smoking pot. I was a thief as well. Like I used to steal, not from people, just from like establishments all the time and stuff. So I was still doing everything. I just was going to church, you know? And so I would go to the Catholic Church and then I would just come home and live life. And then I went probably for about 2 months. And my friend who used to do cocaine, which I never did, but she used to ask me all the time, like she changed, she stopped doing coke and she kept like asking me to go to church and asking me to go to church. And I'm like, I'm not going to church. You're like a drug addict. Like I, you know, like you're on worse drugs than I do or whatever. And so I was like, I'm not going to your church. So then she's like, oh, can you come to church? Come to church, come to church. She stopped coming to parties and stuff like that. So I was like, if you'll shut up, I will go to church with you. So one Sunday I went to a holiness, a congregational holiness. So if you could put Catholic on one side of the religious spectrum, you could put congregational holiness on the complete other side of the religious spectrum. And so I went in there and when I say the like 90-year-old women are like walking to the altar with a cane, and then like dancing up there. And I'm like, wait a minute, they had osteoporosis on the way down, but now they're up there spinning and dancing. I'm like, what the heck is going on here? And so, you know, and the most I knew about the Holy Ghost was like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And so they're like talking about the Holy Ghost. And I'm like, what? Who is this Holy Ghost? This actual person? Like, what is going on here? So I actually kept like saying, God, if this is real, you're going to have to show me what this is all about because this is weird, you know, but I never felt weird enough to leave because that same peace that I felt at the Catholic Church, I realized was the Holy Ghost and not my grandmother. And so I would just watch these people. I'm like, are they really this happy? Like, is this real? Is this something that they will go home with? Or is this just happen up there at the altar? Like, what is going on? And so as I asked those questions, he answered them for me. And so one day I was probably saved maybe like, I'd say probably 2 months. And I saw my first deliverance. Which to me, I mean, I was the kind of, my grandmother used to say, with like when horror movies, she'd say like, if you're bad, that's going to happen to you. She was just not that nice. You know, it's probably why I cling to my grandfather. But like The Exorcist, who lets their kid watch The Exorcist at like 7 years old, 8 years old? It's weird to me, but that freaked me out my whole entire, like it, I seen a billboard in Atlanta. It still freaked me out, even though I know I have authority, but it's like, I saw, not to that extreme, but I saw a change in this person sitting right there next to me. This little girl, she had to have been like maybe 15. And she had this look on her. It was, now I know it was like a lustful type look. And like she had a tank top on. It was nothing super, you know, what most people would think is like risque or anything like that. She just had a tank top, like a dress, a tank top dress on. And one of the older ladies came up and like put a sweater around her shoulders, and they were all praying, and I wanted to go pray, and the lady I was with kind of held me back, and because I always want to pray. And so all of a sudden this little girl just like her eyes rolled back in her head and she fell back on the pew. And when she came up, I will never forget this because I didn't understand. I was like, what the heck is going on? This girl looked completely different when she came back up. Like, I think from what I heard, she was dating like a 40-year-old man or something like that. And she was probably being abused now that I know what I know. But that changed me because I was like, I can see God tangibly right there in that change. So all these questions about, is this real? Is this, or do these people really like believe all this stuff and all this? I saw it tangibly, and I cannot ever rethink that. At that point, I was fully persuaded. And so I just kept seeking, you know, I mean, everybody's on a power trip, right? I mean, you don't have to be honest, but everybody's on a power trip. Everybody wants power. They think money brings power. They think, you know, prestige brings power, or even just, you know, being built brings, you know, you feel like you have power, when really the Holy Spirit's what brings power, and everybody is searching for that. And so when I found that, it was on after that. I was like, everybody got to know. So
changed you.
Absolutely. I mean, from probably that day forward, I was like, this is real and I need to know more. And I would just keep digging in and digging in and digging in. And I don't want to say I'm not accepted by the cookie cutter average church, but I'm not really accepted by the cookie cutter average church, because I was in one church for 9 years. Now, I left that church pretty quickly because it was very legalistic. And when I read in my Bible, it didn't go the way that he was preaching. The people were happy. They had found something. But when I read my Bible, it didn't line up with what the man was preaching on. So it was like, and then, you know, they all wore dresses. So I remember one time I was going to Kroger and I was like, and I do cartwheels randomly. And I owned a body shop at the time. I can be feminine, but I'm pretty much a tomboy. Like, I like dirt, you know, and trucks and stuff. And so, I mean, I like heels and dresses too, but I'm just saying, like, I needed to not wear a skirt all the time. And so I was asking the Lord, I was like, God, is this a real thing? Like, do I really got to wear skirts all the time? Like, this is kind of hard, you know, I can't work on cars when I'm like in a skirt and all this stuff. And so one day this guy, I was asking the Lord in the parking lot of Kroger. I walk into Kroger and this guy, I'll never forget, it looked like a skinny Santa Claus. He had a long white beard and he handed me this daily bread. And when I opened the daily bread, he answered the prayer in that scripture that was there. It said that the man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And after that, I decided, you know, this is legalistic. I didn't have the terminology for it then, but I was like, this is not what God wants. God wants my heart. God wants me to be true to what I'm trying to do and, you know, all this stuff. So from there, kind of just, you know, as I read my Bible, I was at another church for 9 years. The church I just left, I was at for 11 years. 12 years would be, in a month, it would be 12 years. And the Lord led me somewhere else. I'm like, really, God, I don't want to start all over, you know, but I'm very true to, like, I'm a very loyal person. So, like, I'm loyal to the church, but my son was like, you know, like, they don't honor you. They don't use your ministries. And I'm like, you know, but it's not stopping me from ministry. I can go do whatever, like Walmart's a ministry. You know what I mean? Like, I consider ministry to be a lifestyle. Because they don't invite me on some of their things, it's okay. I can lay hands in Walmart, and, you know, somebody can be moved by God anywhere you go, you know. So that's kind of like my church life. But I've been doing ministry in the jail ever since about the second church I was at, which was only like months after I got saved. I stayed there for 9 years, and one of the ladies in there kind of scooped me up and started discipling me, and I wanted to go in the church. So I was pregnant with both of my children. I have a 21-year-old next week and a 19-year-old. And both of them were in my stomach when I was in the jails, just ministering in there. And that lady, I'm still, you know, friends with her. I do a camp with her for kids who are incarcerated, whose parents are incarcerated. And so along the way, I just met different people that I kind of clinged on to their ministry and stuff. So, yeah.
It's awesome. You've been busy.
I have.
But that's you also do baptism. Tell us about that. What you're doing with baptisms right now.
Well, I had went to Sean Foyt. Is it Sean Foyt? I forget how to say his last name, but the one with the Let Us Worship, the one that's in the White House a lot and stuff like that. He was in Atlanta. And I am not the one to stand around. Like, I've got to put my hands to work. So I'm not just going to sit there. I will sit there and worship and dance and all that. But when it comes time to do stuff, I'm like, what can I do? So one day I was over there and he like started using me in their baptisms. And I started kind of, one little girl got baptized in the Holy Spirit at this. She couldn't have been like maybe 14, 15 years old, but she was, you know, she was a little shook up. And so I was like talking to her and stuff without anyone asking me. So then he started asking me like, hey, you know, we'd love you to help with this and this and that. So I kind of put my hands to all that. Then they went to Miami for New Year's in 2022. So I was like, oh, that'd be cool. I've never been to Miami. So I went to Miami and celebrated the New Year's Eve with them, with Let Us Worship. We walked up and down the streets and we ministered on the streets. And then we did baptisms, you know, after New Year's. So I helped with that. And now I'm linked in with Jenny Weaver. Just started listening to her worship on, you know, Facebook, and linked into her core ministry, and became part of the core group. And they are going to Pirates Cove, where the Jesus Revolution movie is. They're actually going to be in like different, she'll be in Sarasota. She'll probably have other core members in different areas of the United States. But I'll be at Pirates Cove in LA on May 11th for a mass baptism. So whether you're getting baptized for the first time, whether you feel like you just really need to be dunked again, I say, you know what? Do what the Holy Ghost tells you to do. You know, like, if my son asked me, he was like, Mom, can I get baptized again? And I'm like, well, why do you feel like you need to? He's like, I don't know. I just do. And I was like, okay, God, well, is that cool? Cause I, you know, my parents baptized me when I was a baby. So I'm like, I thought you were only baptized once. And so I was talking to the Lord about it. And he's like, sometimes you just feel like you just got in a mess again. And I'm like, all right, well, hey, let's go then. You know, you want to make another public, you know, it made me think about Peter when he said, you know, when he washed Peter's feet, and Peter's like, well, then wash my whole body. And he's like, no, you're good. But, you know, you just walk through some stuff. So sometimes you just need to get those feet washed. Well, sometimes you just might have walked away a little bit, or, you know, whatever the case may be, there's no harm in it. So, like, we have people that might want to be baptized with their wives. We have people that, you know, their kids didn't really understand it the first time they did it, and they feel called to do it again, whatever the case may be. So we're going to be doing that after a little bit of worship and word on May 11th in Pirates Cove in LA. And I've never been to LA. My son went a couple of weeks ago and I was so jealous. I was like, oh man. So
and those are Those are pretty big. How many people generally get baptized at those?
It was on the news when she did it on Easter. So there was 100 people signed up. But then as they were doing it, I think, in Clearwater Beach. You can probably look up a Fox News thing if you want to kind of see it. And it's also on Jenny Weaver's Facebook all over the place, because she actually got interviewed by Fox News and Charisma Magazine because of it. But even the animals, like the birds, were all right there. And you can see it in the video. Like, you can hear people say, oh, the birds followed us. But you have a video. Like, you can see right above the baptisms, the birds are just hovering over the baptism area. And people were just watching and just getting baptized in their clothes as they're walking by the pier, just all this stuff. It's like, you cannot deny, like, each one of us, I will cry right now. Each one of us has an internal longing to be with God. Like, each one of us, we may not recognize what it is because nobody taught us. Right. But even the trees know who God is. Like, we internally know that, and it draws us. You know what I'm saying? Like, even before I even understood what was going on, I was drawn, you know? And so, so I just think it's amazing. And yeah, if you want to know where the locations are, you can go to Jenny Weaver's website, or Jenny Weaver's Facebook, or whatever. I think it's Jenny Weaver Worships or something, or Stephen Weaver. Both of them are going to have their stuff up, but I'll be in LA. So.
And you mentioned your son, you have two children, and how are they in standing with the Lord?
I do. So, my husband of 20 years left in 2019, and, my daughter took that pretty hard. And I do also believe that the church has not ever really been super kind to her. So I say the church, the one we were at, the bride is just fine. And when you go in the scope of, like, the world, the bride is doing just fine. But the American church, sometimes we can use a little work, you know, as humans, we all can. But my specific church hasn't opened herself up either. You know, the Bible says, to have friends, you got to be friendly. So, but she just was real hurt. And so she's not doing anything crazy, but she's not reading her Bible. She's not, you know, but when we talk about it, she says she talks to him. She's not real super crazy about being in church anymore. She doesn't serve with me on the streets anymore, but she's done all that. And she's laid hands on people and they have recovered. They have been healed. My son also has been using healing many times. He's prophetic. They're both amazing. She is just finding, you know, she's trying to get rid of that bitterness. That's what she's trying to do, you know? And so she's in that tension place where she's like, you know, I don't really want to forgive right now. That's my take. She's not super verbal about everything yet, but my son is, in ministry school in Chattanooga, and he is with Redemption to the Nations Church in Chattanooga. And he'll be graduating May 19th. Beautiful. And he'll be a youth pastor somewhere. We don't know. He's got 3 opportunities. So I think he wants to intern a little bit before he actually goes out into the real world. So he'll be 21 next week and she's 19. So she's always wanted to be a vet. And so she works at a dog daycare and she's amazing with animals. She's an amazing cook. You know, my boy plays every instrument. It's unfair. It really is unfair. He can pick up any instrument that his dad was like that too. His dad was a guitar player and he was very good at it. I can do nothing but really talk. I mean, the Holy Spirit can use me to do whatever, but I can dance a little bit, but talking is really my specialty, in case you haven't noticed.
So take us to your street ministry. Tell us a little bit about that. We had a gentleman here last week and that was his bread and butter. Tell us, who's the hardest people to minister to? Who's the hardest people to tell Jesus to?
Are you talking about, like, in the streets or in general?
Yeah, in the streets.
Okay. So, I think it's just across the board, it's someone who already thinks they know him.
Yeah.
You know, it's really, I can tell you my 23 years of ministry, I've ministered more to people who think they already know him. than I have people who actually don't know him. Because people who don't know him are very open to, well, first of all, it's the goodness of God that draws man to repent. So telling people about their sin, everybody, my dog knows when he sins. You know what I mean? So it's like, that is probably not going to hook them as much as like healing. Like healing on the streets is the biggest tool you can use. And then second to that would be words of knowledge. So if you're telling someone where the moment is that they ended up on the streets, instead of asking them why they're there, because a lot of times they really have a false sense of why they're there anyways. You know what I mean? A lot of times drugs are involved. Most of the time it's bitterness with the family, bitterness against the government, because a lot of them are veterans and it's really, really sad. Because we don't take care of them the way that they took care of us, putting their life on the line for our country, you know? But, so I would say the hardest person to deal with is someone, well, two, because people that are demonized don't even really come near me. Like I have a guy, it's not funny, but it's kind of funny because there's a guy on the streets that I was talking to him. I had made nachos. So every fourth Tuesday I cook in my kitchen. Like I'll make chicken burritos or I'll make spaghetti or I'll make whatever. And I make it enough. Before COVID, it was like 100 to 125. Now it's like 45 to 75 that we have out there in Atlanta, but in Macon, there's probably 200. So I do ministry in Macon and Atlanta. And so in Atlanta, I've done for 11 years. Macon, I just kind of started, but this one guy, I was like, you know, we had nachos, but I had no more meat. I only had cheese and salsa. So I was like, well, we got a little cheese and salsa. You're welcome to this. And I give him the box and I said, well, can I pray for you? And he just backs up and he's like, no, no, no. I said, but Jesus loves you and he wants to help. And he goes, I don't believe in Jesus. I believe in Santa. And so I have written a book called Mindless Cattle, The Truth About Man's Traditions, and haven't done any of the normal holiday. I say normal. The holidays everyone celebrates, I don't do them. And so for him to say that about Santa in the middle of July was just weird to me. So he like backs up, he takes the to-go thing that I give him, and then he's over here talking to some other people. And I walk over to him and I'm like, I really just want to pray for you. I said, I'm Becky. And I stuck my hand out like this. And he like pulls his hand back and he goes, no authority, no authority, no authority. And he starts walking away. And so I see him every so often and he won't even like, if I'm passing out food, he'll take it from someone else. He won't even take it from me. And so I guess the hardest ones are the ones that don't want to, you know, rid themselves of the internal torture, you know? And then the second one, hardest ones are going to be the ones that think they already know God, because you can't convince them, you know, they have this idea of who God is and it's totally not right, you know? And
I see a lot of that on social media and a lot of people like, they just love to start arguments. I seen a post yesterday and it was a guy saying that there's no three in one. There's that they're not the same. And I wonder what Bible people are reading these days. It's not the same one I'm reading. I mean, you can go scripture and scripture and scripture and find the Trinity in the Bible. It's everywhere in the Bible. And they want to tell you it doesn't exist. I don't, where do you get that from? But I never realized how much division there is amongst people who say they believe in God until I really got back into social media in the last couple of years. And it blows my mind. There's more arguing amongst followers of God or believers than there are against.
And they don't realize sticks. Like what that's doing. You know, they don't realize what that's doing to the non-believer, mm-hmm. You know, because in John 17, he said that unity is how they're going to know who he is. So clearly, if we have no unity, they're not going to see Jesus.
Yeah.
But you have people that are zealous and they're, you know, that like there are things that, you know, like I was zealous when I first you know, got the call to be a watchman. I'd got the number 337 and I didn't know why I kept seeing it or whatever. And then I finally found out, like, he kind of took me up and like explained to me about the watchman on the wall. And, you know, but I think he clarified the fact that it was people I disciple, because Paul was talking to people that he had relationships with. He was talking to, he was correcting. I don't think you should correct or call out someone if you don't have a relationship with them. Like, how can you even correct someone that you don't even personally know? You know what I mean? And so people are zealous and they really have a heart and they want to, like, they really want to help, but they're so deceived. And I think the key is the Holy Spirit, because it says that you receive power when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And if you can't get, and it also says the Holy Spirit's the best teacher. So if you don't have that intimate relationship with the Spirit, not God, not Jesus, but all three, but intimately, that the Spirit is within. He said, I must go and I'm going to send someone and it's going to be better that he's here than me being here. And so that is the power that helps us to decipher what to say, what not to say. I mean, because good Lord, I am Irish and Puerto Rican. I'll straight tell you exactly how it is. But the Holy Spirit restricts me a lot of times, saying, you know, that's not going to do good. That's not. Sometimes he just says no. He doesn't even tell me why not, you know. But it's like, though, the tension between the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the not baptism, that right there, I think personally, is the power to know when to post something. When, how many times have I posted something and it had to delete all of it because the Holy Spirit's like, no, 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 no. And sometimes it was the wrong time. Like Paul said, I wanted to go to, I think it was Asia, Mesopotamia, something like that. He's like, but the Holy Spirit forbid me. He didn't say Jesus didn't want me to go. Jesus told us to go. You know, and the Father laid his own Son down. So, you know, he wants the whole world saved. He wishes that none would perish, but it wasn't the right time. But I think it was Paul. He wouldn't have known that if he didn't have an internal relationship with the Holy Spirit. And so it's just bears down to Bible reading. You know, people have a good heart. They want to see people saved. They want to see people not deceived. And then they're talking from a place of deception in themselves because they haven't really read or have a relationship with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I didn't mean to go all denominational because I don't even see them in the Bible. So sorry, not really, but.
Oh, that's great.
You had no idea what you were getting into, did you?
You know, a lot of us do. We have a lot of different views. And we had talked about this a little bit last week, but it all comes back to our faith and our belief in Jesus, and that's where what we really need to rally behind, I believe.
Absolutely.
We're all going to have a little disagreements about this and that. Some of those big ones, like the Trinity, they'll get me, and you know, there's some other ones out there, but I think we can all agree that Jesus is Lord.
And spreading that gospel, that's the biggie, is understanding the importance of what Christ did. And, you know, to the point where he gave us an opportunity. But you're right. We talked about it right before the show, actually, where there's just certain topics within scripture that people are so dead set that it becomes an argument. And it's like, look, let's just start talking about Jesus, because we all agree on that. And it is hard because, you know, even myself, I'll read a scripture today and then I can pick that same scripture up and read it again another year from now, and I'll see something different that I didn't see before. I'll find connections. And that's one thing, is that the unity requires us to be able to have conversations, agree to disagree, to listen and learn. You know what I'm saying? And that's the thing, is that some people, they're like, this is the way, and they won't even listen to another person's perspective, which is absolutely important, because this is how we grow.
Yeah, absolutely. You can't learn nothing if you don't listen.
Yeah.
You know, some people idolize their doctrine more than they do Jesus.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys are the same, but since I've got back onto Facebook, you know, Godcast has got a page on Facebook, and I have so many people just wanting to debate me on a personal message me, and they want to debate me. And most of the times I just respond to them, you know, hey, I love your passion. And I love you to death. but I don't want to argue about this stuff. You know, I just want to talk about Jesus and salvation, and God bless you and have a great day.
It's really a distraction. That's all it is. It's a hindrance and a distraction. There's no, even with the Trinity, it's like, there's no salvation issue there. Like, okay, first of all, if you don't believe they're all together, you probably don't know any of them. I mean, let's just be honest. If you don't know them together, then you don't really know any of them, because you have to know. That's like saying, okay, the Jewish people don't even believe there was a Messiah. Do they believe in the same God? Probably not. You know why? Because that God showed us a shadow of Jesus all through the Torah. So do they believe the same God? Nah, probably not. So I don't know. I just think that, like, if people could just read their Bible, that God will show them. And that's how I got my answers when I got saved. It's like, I am opening the Bible. I'm not going to idolize the person behind the mic. I'm not going to idolize my grandma who taught me about Jesus. I'm not going to idolize even the Bible itself. I'm going to take the Bible and I'm going to learn who God is in that, because he is the one who breathed it to show us who Christ was and all that. So it's tough, but you know, the thing is, shine, you know, like you said, we all have to come together. And I tell people, even Paul, like, when people just don't want to even talk, I'm like, well, why'd you even contact me? If all you're going to do is shove your stuff down my throat, why'd you even contact me if we can't talk? Send me scripture with what you're saying. I got one guy on Instagram. I'm like, okay, you say this, send me scripture.
Yeah,
let's talk about scripture. Let's chop it up.
Absolutely.
Paul wrote 3/4 of the Bible and he said he didn't even know it all. So how do you, you know?
I pass through a lot of these arguments. I just pass right over them. But there are some that just need to be straightened out. And I don't give an opinion. I just give them a scripture.
Bible.
That's it. That's my argument. I'm not going to argue with you. Here's the scripture. This is what God says. We do have a question for you, if you can please. This is from Kitty to Karen. What do you say to a believer who you know has faith but is in a place of weakness and struggle? You know, how do you lift another person?
Well, I tell them that if you're weak, you're in the perfect position, because God's promises said that in your weakness, his strength is perfected. Nice. And when I'm weak, like I personally, being single after 20 years of marriage is a little hard. And I'm not even dating. Like, I'm scared to date. I'm like, God, just show me who he is. And that's it. I know I'm supposed to be a wife, but I'm not even dating. I'm just, okay, just, he's going to have to like glow and then, you know, give me some word for something. But here's what I do, because rejection and abandonment try to find a place in my mind, because it's something that has been there since I was little. So it's a familiar spirit, if you will. And so I put these little index cards. I have index cards in my truck and they have scripture, because that's how Jesus combated the devil, like your song, right? He said, okay, well, how about this? Okay, well, this is what the word says. How about this? Well, the word says this. Well, the word says this. So when I get in my truck in the morning, I see I have favor with God and I have favor with man. And I'll say, thank you, Lord, that I have favor with God and I have favor with man. And then I'll say, you will never leave me or forsake me. I am the apple of your eye. I will always hide under the shadow of your wings. So I have those, like, I have some by my bed. I have... just keep the word in you. Fall asleep with the word. Like, put it on your Bible. That the Bible app is so free. Okay. Turn it on audio. Get that thing in you. Relive the book of Eli, not all the cuss words and the beating, but the book of Eli is like a perfect movie to watch to see how the Bible. Well, I just ruined it for somebody. Never mind. Just get the Bible in you. Get it in you. Just get
Bible
it
app to use.
I don't even know the name of it, because I don't use it often. I just use it to do the audio Bible when I go to sleep. So it's brown, I think.
I use the Blue Letter Bible, if you guys don't use that.
That's my favorite.
And that's got an audio too. And just like you, when it gets late at night and my eyes get tired, I just hit the play button.
Subliminally, it gets in you. I know from psychology that it gets into your subconscious.
Osmosis. Yeah. That's the way, learning while you're sleeping. That's definitely the way to do. I mean, I find myself praying when I'm sleeping. I will literally wake up in the middle of prayer. That's a great muscle memory to have.
Absolutely. I promise. That's so good. So there's your answer. Just get the word in you, because that's where it's at.
Awesome. Duncan, did you pick up any questions from
No questions over here, but I got questions. So, you know, one thing too is we always talk about the absolute importance of testimonies, because, you know, God doesn't want us to revel in our past, because there's nothing we can do about it. You know what I'm saying? We live in the present where God lives, but he doesn't want us to forget our past. And telling our testimonies and our stories, you know, are as powerful as prayer in many ways, because it's showing someone who feels like they can't rise above, that they're doomed, that this is it for me. And people coming along and being like, let me tell you what a terrible person I used to be in the past. And it gives them hope. And I've seen it so many times. And you and I share a lot of similarities from our past, you know, LSD, just a lot of, you know, different drugs and stuff that I would take. And it was God that helped me get through that. And it wasn't until years later that I developed the relationship with Christ that I have today. But God was present in our lives, even at our worst. And, you know, I was going to say is, because oddly enough, it was LSD was one of the reasons that I started seeking God. So it was kind of like a backfire on the devil. Devil's using his weapon against us and ended up backfiring.
Genesis 50:20 or 20:50, I forget. But what the devil meant for evil, God turned it for good.
Every single time. You know, so did you have to go to rehab? Was this something that you ended up doing on your own, just kind of coming out of it? Was it God that helped you get through your old addictions?
Well, the LSD was only for like a year of my teenage life. The marijuana, what had happened was, okay, so I rented the upstairs in my house, and I smoked weed even while I was going to church. So I rented my top floor of my house to the drug dealer. And because I never really saw, like, the reason why I dealt is because I could get more. Because I'm Puerto Rican, I need a sale. You know what I mean?
You're also Irish and Scottish, so you're just frugal.
So I need the clearance rack. So I used to buy big amounts so that I could get mine for free. Well, this was the same scenario. I rented the upstairs to the drug dealer that sold our weed to us. And he had really good stuff that I would never buy because it cost too much. I'm like, I'm good, you know? So one day I came home from church. I used to always come home from church on Thursday night, and I would tell everybody the amazing things that happened. I mean, I have seen cancer fall. This was before I laid hands and did any of it, but I would see cancer, like tumors, just like wrinkled. The skin would be wrinkled from being stretched from a tumor just disappearing on this kid. Like just all kinds of stuff like that. And so when I would come home, I'd tell all these stories, and I'd just be smoking out, telling all these stories, right? Well, one day I go downstairs and I am sitting there reading my Bible, because I there was things I couldn't explain at church that I needed to see in the Bible. So I was like, God, show me what that was. Show me what this is. Show me what he said here, what he said there. And I hated to read. So it was really kind of new to me to want to read, you know. So kind of like Todd White, he didn't even know how to read, you know, before he got his encounter with God. But so I was downstairs, and all of a sudden, like a cartoon, when I tell you, this was like a green mist just came down the stairs like this. And it just kind of stood over my bed, and it's totally spiritual. I was not tripping at the time, I promise, but I saw it and I was like, and it still smells good to me to this day. I'm not going to lie to you and tell you it doesn't smell good. It smells pretty good to me when it's good stuff. Right. And so I smelled it and I was like, I'm reading my Bible. And it didn't really like dawn on me till the next morning, because I wasn't high that whole evening, you know? So I was like, well, that was weird. I was getting ready for work the next morning. I was like, wow, like I didn't get high after church yesterday. Like, what's that all about? So I'm talking to God. I'm like, what was that all about? Like, you don't want me smoking weed? Like, I heard the green herbs of the earth, you know, and all this stuff. And so I was like, and he said, I want you of sober mind. And he said, the reason why you didn't want that last night is because you had something better. And so that's what I tell the girls in the jail. I said, you know what? If what I was doing before was more fun or satisfied me more, I'd still be doing that. You know what I mean? And so I just think that I found a superior addiction. I never went to any kind of facility or anything like that. I just found a superior addiction. I'm addicted to Jesus.
Yeah. That's where I'm at now. I said that about a week ago. You know, I used to have all these little addictions, and now I just, like, man, I got a Bible in every room. I got one at my work.
Saying.
I got a New Testament pocket Bible on me at all times. And I had to go through a security check, man. The security guy goes, is that a New Testament? I said, yes. He goes, that's the best book there ever was.
I'm saying.
I said, yeah, if you match it with the Old Testament, then you really got something, you know. And it's just, yeah.
It's exciting. It really is. I go on adventures. Like, I have a cabin in Psalms. Like, I just go on these adventures with God. And it's so much fun. I just went through. Now, again, I told you I don't do holidays. So Passover, we're in the middle of Passover right now. And I refuse to share, like, stuff about Easter. So I was like, okay, I'll just wait. I can't wait to share all this stuff. So I get here to Connecticut, which they don't, you know, it's my best friend going on 39 years. Since I was 13. So she was 11. And so I'm reading every morning, get up, I read, you know, several of her children are, well, all of them are adults except for one, and they all are going to church and all this stuff, but that's not how it was. Like, it was not like that. This is just the last, probably the last, like, 7 years. And so I'm reading, I'm like, ooh, you know, and they're walking by and they're like, what'd you get? What'd you find? You know, and it's just like, it's an adventure to me because I have recently just found in, like, the sheep and the goats, he's saying, you can take the Passover, you can have a lamb or a sheep. And I'm like, oh, that's the Jews and the Gentiles. That's all of us. Like, you know, and then it says in Exodus 12 too, like, you can invite your neighbor to come in if, like, so people look at God like, oh no, it was just the Israelites that he saved and he only cares about Israel. And da, da, da. And in this Exodus Passover thing, Exodus 12 and Passover, you see, he's like, invite your neighbor, your slave can come, you know, and this, that, and the other. And I'm like, and then he talks about the sheep and the goat. The sheep and the goat. And I'm like, the goat, like, why would you get a goat? Goats are, like, not, you know what I mean? And then I'm seeing this whole revelation about, like, the Jews and the Gentiles both coming because of the lamb. And it's just, those things excite me when I see things after I've read them over and over and over. My book's been done for probably, it needs to be published, but I'm going to do it this year. But it's been written for, like, probably 7 years. And I've read this over and over. And like he said, you find something new and you're like, oh, where does this connect? It's like a big jigsaw puzzle. And you're like, wow, this is so cool. You know, so.
Love your passion. That shows in all your YouTube channels too. YouTube channel that I watched a couple of them this week, just prepping. And yeah, your excitement and your passion for Jesus is bar none. Love it. All right, guys. How are we doing on time? We doing all right?
Yeah, we're good. We got about 25 minutes before prayer.
Okay.
So we got good time.
If I can, I just want to give everyone else kind of a heads up on where they can find Becky if you'd like to. Again, if you look up Becky Russell on social media, you can find her on Instagram, on TikTok. She's on Facebook. And then on YouTube, you'll find a lot of her videos. Please check her out. And then she does a lot of traveling. She likes to go do these baptisms. If you'd like to support her ministry, please do. You can find her at PayPal at wonderfilled337@gmail.com. That's wonderfilled337@gmail.com. And then Brad on Fire on Venmo. And $NOT99 on the Cash App. And you can find these links at the What About This Episode on on the information here on this episode here. Duncan put up the links there if you want to find them there.
And it'll be on the published show as well. I'm going to put all that stuff back up on published, so you'll be able to find it on Rumble and on Podbean.
Fantastic. So please, for those that are listening, please support her ministry. She's doing the good work. She's spreading the good news, and there's no better way to get the word out. A lot of us are not as mobile and can't do so. Like myself, I got two kids, so I'm kind of just ministering to the people here in Hastings, Michigan. But for those of us that, you know, like myself, that can't get out, please support this ministry for those who can. And Becky will love you and appreciate you for that. Becky, thank you so much for doing this, for being with us tonight, for sharing your time. I know you're on vacation. And
it's okay. I love it.
And it was beautiful. And I asked her, and she says, absolutely. I love any chance I get to talk about Jesus. Let's go. When are we doing this?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, for sure. Anytime. I love it.
Awesome.
So many stories. I feel like, I mean, I'm 51 years old, but sometimes I just feel like that old grandma that has like all these stories that I want to tell. It's like, what subject matter would you like me to tell you about? Because I have so many. And I've only been doing it 23 years, you know, but he just does something new every day. It's like, I don't pull from 10 years ago. I mean, I do pull from 10 years ago, but I can tell you something last week that he did, you know, like if you're in a constant relationship with him, there's things you're going to be able to say about him, you know, every day, you know, if you're truly like, you know, talking to him and walking with him. And you have plenty of ministry opportunities. You go to Walmart, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, I know we have we had some missions come into my church, and they talk about, you know, they're all over the country. We got missions from all over the world, and you know, they give the gospel message, and they say, you know, you don't have to go to the other side of the world to do this. You got people right here in your town that need to hear this message. You know,
your kids go to school? Are they homeschooled?
Yeah, we don't do the public school thing. Unfortunately, there's not two of me, so they're not homeschooled, but we got our church has a K-12, so they're in the right hands.
Gotcha. I was going to say, because the public school is a whole ministry in itself. I found a lot of my disciples in the public school just latching on to me because my kids were friends with them. And, you know, you're building a legacy too. So you got to understand that. That's one thing that the Holy Spirit told me years ago. He's like, you know, this is your ministry, your kids, you're developing your, what did one of my disciples said something to me this morning. They texted me this morning and says, we're not making, man, this is going to bother me if I don't.
Well, we'll keep the conversation going. She disappeared.
Okay, we must have just lost her.
Yeah, she's still up. I see her page is still up. Camera went out, though. So we'll keep the conversation going until she gets back with us. You know, it's interesting, too, man, is that, you know, she says something important, you know, is that, you know, do you go to Walmart? We literally have a way to minister everywhere that we go. And, you know, I'm not one who's pushy. You know what I'm saying? So I like the people to come up to me. So that's why I'm saying, that's why I generally wear shirts that have like scripture written on them. Yeah. Or something. Exactly.
Wear a conversation starter wherever you go.
Every time.
If I don't have a work shirt on, this is what I wear wherever I go.
Exactly.
And I got a bumper. I had a guy stop me at Aldi's the other day, and he said, I was hoping you were stopping here because I saw the bumper sticker on the back of your car and I wanted to say hello. You know, it's just, you got to.
Exactly. And it's like I said, it's seed planting, because it's one thing that I noticed too, is it's not even necessarily approaching someone that you don't think knows God, but it's approaching someone that knows God, carrying on that conversation publicly. And then you look around and you'll have like four or five other people standing there, part of that conversation now. And yeah, I try to do this.
That person just might need the encouragement. And you're right. There's always someone that's watching, that's listening, and there's a seed right there. Bam, gotcha. Exactly. With my seed.
Even if they're shopping three aisles over and they hear what you're saying, that seed's been planted. And when God lays that living water over that seed, it's going to grow at the time that it needs to.
And absolutely.
Here's another thing Jay Wu was talking about. Weren't you talking about leaving Bible tracks behind melons and stuff at the store?
Actually, it's the pocket crosses that Penny crafting. Crosses.
Yeah.
Okay, so for our listeners, I found two places. One is called, you can find these are for Bible Tracks. Bible Tracks, Inc. bibletractinc.org, bibletractinc.org. And the second place is faithministriesliterature.org. And I've got these up on the Facebook Godcast page. I'll put them up on the Telegram page. But if you go to these two places, you can get free Bible tracts and free shipping. Here's one of them right here. I just got mine today. Oh, it's backwards on the camera, but this is the front of it says Born Again. These are nice too. These aren't little chintzy ones. And four sections, and it's five section sizes. Are you born again? What is it? What is born again? How does it happen? God must do it for you in God's way. And just, you know, a lot of us, some of us are introverts and we have problems going and speaking with people. There's nothing wrong with leaving one of these on the with a tip in the restaurant. You know, however you got to do it, but get the word out. Wear a shirt so someone says, hey, what's that fish mean? Well, let me tell you about it.
And I love that story too. That's always a great one. That's one of those one things that a lot of people don't know the true significance of what the, you know, I'm saying, why they have that particular fish. So that always, you know, for anybody who's out there that doesn't know God, just got more of a conspiracy mind or something, you know, that's gold. That conversation.
So a couple of weeks ago, and I was telling them, they said, man, I'm worrying about this, worry about that. I said, be anxious about nothing, pray about everything. And they said, oh, I like that. I got to write that down. I said, well, I can't take credit for it. That Paul said that. And they said, who's Paul? Who's Paul? And I said, who's Paul? I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you about Paul.
Yes. I love talking about it. I love talking
Yeah. So just so find good. A way. Just find a way. Everybody
and needs. Here's the thing too, like the Holy Spirit knows everybody.
Yeah,
he knows the inner thoughts of man, right? And so I love everything you just said, so I'm not discrediting it, but you can also pray before you go to the grocery store and ask God to point out people and then ask him to give you a word for them. We tend to depend on ourselves too much. So we could literally, like one time, I'll just use an example for myself. So I'm at the grocery store or whatever, and I forgot where I was at, but let's just say the grocery store. So I ask God for appointments every morning when I wake up. I'm like, give me divine appointments, you know, and then use me as your vessel, like use me as your mouthpiece, use me as your vessel. We say those things and then we don't really expect that he's going to do that because, and let me tell you why, because I go into the grocery store and I hear in my thoughts, like I'm trying to get groceries. I'm not thinking about somebody's, you know, sick kid. I'm not thinking about somebody who has a son in the hospital. Like I'm just not, that's just not where my mind is at. You know, I'm trying to get out of there. I'm trying to figure out if I'm going to buy candy or not, or I'm going to be disciplined and get out of there without junk, you know? And so I hear this, like her son is in the hospital and I'm like, whose son? Like, I'm just literally having this conversation in my mind, like whose son? You know, like I ask for this. I ask for him to give me words. I tell him to give me divine appointments, but then I get out there and I'm not looking for them. And I'm not thinking what's going on in the mind of Christ, which is what the Bible says we have, the mind of Christ, right? We are in Christ. We're a new creation. We are now the righteousness of God, right? We are the hope of glory on this earth. We're ambassadors for God. Like we have all these scriptures that we can quote. We say we believe them. We get out there and we're like, whose son? Instead of going, whose son? You know, looking around, like, is it the lady right here at the grocery store? Is it this person, God? Is it this, you know, or whatever? And then just be bold enough to say, okay, if I had that thought when I'm thinking about what I'm making for dinner, not some kid's son in the hospital, then you not you have to say, okay, what if I'm wrong? And then you're like, well, what if I'm right? Then you prove God. Yeah, I mean, we can give them the track and that's great. But when you tell them about their kid in the hospital and you want to pray for them, now God has become tangibly real, not necessarily even just on a piece of paper. He has now become real to this person. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Pray for opportunities to witness. Absolutely.
And then listen for them.
Yes.
Because I've missed so many. I have one where I missed this guy in the store. He was blind and he had a walker. And I was like, I forgot who I was listening to. I was fired up before I got there. I was like, okay, we're going to do this. I get in there. I see him out of the corner of my eye going in the opposite way of where I'm coming. I'm like, okay, I'm going to get my stuff and I'm going to find him. then I couldn't find him. And I was so sad. I'm walking through, I'm praying in the spirit, walking up and down these aisles. I'm like, where are they at? I'm so sorry, God. I should have done it when I could. Da, 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 da. I was all amped up, and then I just didn't do it. Why? Because I had groceries in my cart. Like, I considered the groceries more important than this guy who's blind, that you clearly gave me the desire to go lay hands on him. So I get to the tire shop. It was Sam's Club. So I get to the going out, all discouraged, like, you know, just head down, the whole business, right? And so all of a sudden I see him standing there. And this is how good God is. I see him standing there, and there's another blind man with him. I'm like, because I came back in, I got two. So I end up going over there, and I asked the lady that was with him. I said, do you mind if I pray for them? Because I literally just walked around the whole store looking for them, because I really felt like God was telling me to pray for them. And I got to my car and I didn't, and I was so discouraged. So can I please pray? And she's like, oh yeah, yeah, this is both of my brothers. And so I ended up praying for both, and both of them were like, wow, thank you so much. And I didn't see them like get rid of their canes, but that's not my business. You know what I mean? Like, I just do what I'm supposed to do. The lepers, they walked away, got healed. I don't know if these guys walked away and got healed. All I know is Isaiah said that they're healed because of his stripe on his back. That's all you need to know. I don't need to know if they, you know, they ever saw it. Like, I just know the truth. But it was so cool because I felt so, like, fulfilled after that. But I was so discouraged before that. And that's the enemy. You know, God's not like, oh, man, you missed them, you know. But
yeah,
it's like, so fulfilling. It really is. When you actually walk in the power that he paid for, it's so fulfilling.
I said a couple of weeks ago, when I get that nudge to go and talk to someone, and I don't because the enemy gets in my ear for days, it's like I have a sliver inside me that I can't get out, and it just festers, and I wish I could go back. So listen, when you hear that, listen, listen and obey.
Funny you say sliver. It's probably Paul's thorn. Just saying.
Becky, one last thing. If you had one message for the world, what would it be?
Be all that he paid for.
Amen to that. Thank you. All right, I'm going to get into Romans. Please, if anyone's listening that's not saved and you feel that emptiness in your heart, just know everything in this world not only is, it feels unfulfilling, it is unfulfilling, and that's because your heart is without a relationship with Jesus. So please make that decision today. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Please make that decision today. If you are saved, please follow Becky's lead. Go out and speak to someone about the gospel. Find someone at the grocery store. Walk into the park. My town is incredible. We've got so many homeless people here. You know, those weeks when my kids aren't around, there's nothing better than going and taking a hot meal to someone and talking to them about Jesus. You want to show them the love of what Jesus is? Go take them a hot meal and a hug, something they ain't got in a while. Find someone that needs to hear it. Like Becky said, pray for those opportunities and ask the Lord to give you the eyes to see them so you don't miss them and don't miss those opportunities.
Absolutely. So when you were praying, I decided I would pray too. And Susan came to mind, and I just explained that that's not just random. So Susan, I'm talking to you, and I want you to know that you are highly valued, that God paid a high price for you because you're worth it, because something is only worth as much as someone would pay for it. And God paid everything. Jesus paid it all for you. So he wants you. He wants your yes, and he wants to work in and through you. So Susan, I call you into the kingdom right now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
I really appreciate that you said to, you know, pray intentionally before you go to the store. And that's not something I've even thought about. You know, I always think about, you know, blessings, say God bless you to someone, or helping them with their groceries, or just, you know, doing polite things that might open a door to conversation. But really praying into that intentionally and seeking it out, that's That's, I like it. That's gold.
I'm glad I could help. Someone taught me.
That's, and you know, and I really, something that we all really have a heart for is the unity thing, you know, and I bring this up pretty much every episode now, but when I think about salvation and the gospel and Christ's time on the cross, it wasn't the beatings, it wasn't the brutality, it wasn't being spat on, it wasn't hauling that heavy cross up the hill, or even being hung on it. It was the time he spent in darkness away from his Father, experiencing every sin of this world from beginning to end, and then still choosing to love us. That's the thing I contemplate, and that's the thing that always reminds me that there is nothing any one of us can't get past with another brother or sister, or even a murderer or a rapist, because God's seen it all. Jesus experienced every one of those experiences, every single one. It's hard to fathom, and still loved us. And that's what reminds me that, you know, unity isn't difficult when you compare it to what he did. And yeah. Anyway, it's been a pleasure to get to hear your testimony and what you're out there doing. You're an inspiration. Thank you.
Thank you. Anytime. I love it. Talking is my specialty.
Yeah, you're good at it, and don't stop doing it.
Yeah, we appreciate you. Definitely.
All right. Jay was going to pray us out here tonight. I don't know if we had any prayer requests, but Jay, if you could, let's pray for Becky.
Absolutely.
Let's pray for her son, who's a youth pastor here needing a church, and let's pray for her daughter too.
Do you mind giving me your daughter and son's names?
My daughter is Julia and my son is Ethan.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm gonna try to remember that. I'm terrible with names, but Lord Jesus, as always, thank you. Thank you for all you do for us. Thank you for the many blessings. It's just with a heart full of thanks and joy for you that we come every day, because with you in our lives, there is nothing that we shouldn't be joyful for. Even our very ends, the trials, the tribulations, the suffering, it's all short term. It's easy when we have you in our hearts. So thank you. We just lift up Julia and Becky. And I have already forgotten your son's name. I'm so skilled. Ethan, thank you. Oh, we just lift up this family to you, Lord. And just thank you for all that they're doing and their work, their ministry. You know, I know that Julia is struggling right now. So just bless her with your just love and your joy and that just calm, joyful feeling we feel when we're in your presence, and just let go of the crap of the world, and just embrace you, Lord. Just give her that ease, that soft spirit, that she may just pursue you with a vigor only matched by her mother. And for Ethan, as he's moving into ministry of his own, just bless him, Lord. Keep your hand on him. Keep him focused and walking that path. And that just, I pray that for everyone here, everyone in chat, everyone just listening later on, all of us here that do these little podcasts, that we may just serve you well, Lord, and that we may feel the nudges and act. You are a mighty God, and we will never earn a way into heaven, but we will do our best to honor you in every way we can. So increase our faith, increase our joy, increase our love and trust in you, that we may just step out boldly and serve you well. It is in your glorious name, Jesus, that we ask and pray these things. Amen.
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 Duncan, final thoughts?
No, I just, I love this show so much. You know, this is the way to kind of end the week, is, you know, with the testimonies, you know, what you always do is talk about Romans, the importance of coming to Christ and finding him. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot of people that come and listen to the many platforms. There's a lot of people now that are stepping up and doing programs specifically about scripture, which is a great thing. But one thing that if we should all do is just to remind people, like, if you don't have Christ in your heart yet, you know, this is the best time. We always say it. Yesterday was the best day. Today, it'll do. Tomorrow may not do, because we do not know that time that Christ is coming back for us. You know, so I love what you've done with this show, Ron. This is a phenomenal thing. And like I said, it's a very important subject, especially with testimonies. And I'm thankful that Becky came on today to tell this testimony as well. That's the great thing, is that all of us have our own stories. And my story may not be for 100 people. It may just be for that one person, but that's what it's all about. It's not waking up the masses. It's focusing on one soul at a time. It's like Jesus. He walked away from 99 sheep to save the one.
Yeah, all glory goes to the Father. You know, I've had people ask me, you know, are you a prophet? Are you a pastor? And man, I'm just an ordinary, failing, struggling person. You know, that I just love Jesus, and I just know there's no other way. I know what he did for me. I know what he's done for everybody on this panel. And if I was God, I wouldn't have chose me for this. I'd be the last person I would have chose.
I mean, that's how I feel.
I'm so unworthy. I don't deserve any of this.
None of us do.
But I think we got a little
close. I just love him so much. And if I didn't do this, I just wouldn't feel right.
We had a late prayer request come in. I'm not sure exactly what's going on here, but Jilly sent something in. I just want to lift up her family and the truth will set you free. And I just pray a conviction in this person that is apparently told a lie and caused a serious problem within a family unit. And, you know, to just speak that truth and to be out front with your brokenness, because we're all so broken. God will touch you in amazing ways, and it is freeing those scary. I just pray this person finds the strength in themselves through God. Well, finds the strength through God, not from themselves, to pursue him and to be honest and to just lay their heart out there, and that they experience the true forgiveness of God and the true joy of knowing. So God bless you, Jillian, and your family. I pray that these things are sorted out in a very God-centric way.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. And amen. We love you, Jilly.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
All right. Before Duncan leaves us all with the national anthem, let me just say, my dearest friends, man, let us not forget we are here for one reason and one reason only, and that is to spread the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So please find that person out there that doesn't know him and tell them your testimony. Do it today. Like Duncan just said, tomorrow is not promised.
Amen.
Amen. Well,
another phenomenal show. Becky, it was a privilege having you here. Like I said, just continue that mission, and you just inspired others to start theirs. So thank you much. All of you out here in the chat, we love you so much. You guys are a family. We're building every single day. And we need each other. That's the great thing, is that God doesn't need us to do anything, but he still asks us to do things. And there's no bigger honor than that. But we also need one another. God puts us in each other's lives for a reason, to lift each other up, to pray for one another, just to inspire one another. And that's the beautiful thing. Sometimes we just need someone to vent to or hug. You know, it's simple as that. But we love y'all very, very much. Don't forget tomorrow evening, 6 o'clock Eastern time, Church by the Fire. That would be the scriptural equivalent of freestyle rap. The J to the E to the S to the U to the S, I must confess. There we go. That was terrible freestyle. But
that was good. I liked it.
That was awesome.
I never said anything about Christian hip hop promotion, but you know, that's for another day.
Exactly. But our show on Saturday is basically equivalent of freestyle scripture, because we just kind of, we go in and just carry on a conversation. Everyone in the chat, people that joined the show, you know, it's one of those things. If I ever had a ministry, I would literally be handing mics out to the congregation and be like, what questions do you have? You know what I'm saying? That's one thing I wish that I could have done, is raise my hand in church. But we just want to thank you all so much for joining. This is a Kilter Christian episode 594, the official Godcast with Becky Russell. It'll be published here in about 15 minutes. You can also find it. I'll be sending it over to Ron. He'll be putting it up on his Podbean as well, and it'll be published directly afterwards. You can find all of her information in the About area on Rumble and the About area on Podbean. So make sure to give her some love. If you can support her at all for the ministry, please definitely do so. But in the meantime, guys, as always, God wins. So there's nothing to fear about. Let go of your stress. Let go of your anxiety. Pray more than you've ever prayed before. Spread that gospel from nation to nation. God is going to get us through this, guys. He doesn't need us, but he wants us to work for him. Great honor. But guys, we love you all very, very much. We thank you so much for joining us this evening. We'll see you tomorrow at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. In the meantime, I leave you with the national anthem.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag